upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite us to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1088. Just to set the context for this, this is part of the Christmas story. We've seen in the previous couple weeks that an angel, Gabriel, came to Mary and revealed to Mary that she would be with child, who would be the Savior of the world, and she was to name him Jesus. Mary was also told that her cousin Elizabeth, who had been barren, was now with child. And so Mary, upon her response, what we talked about last week, a response of true servanthood, be it done unto me according to your will. The angel left her, and it was evidently shortly after that that she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth in Judah. And so here we see this encounter where Elizabeth, who is now bearing John the Baptist in her womb, greets Mary, who is the mother of Jesus. And so we pick this up in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. We're talking about contrasting the response of Zechariah when the angel visited him and said that Elizabeth would be with child. He did not believe it, could not believe it. And yet with Mary, when she is told, she believed. And I believe going back to like the time of Abraham, God told Abraham that he and Sarah would have a child, and Abraham believed and was credited to him as righteousness. So here we see this servant Mary believing that, in fact, what God had said to her would be fulfilled. So that's the part we're going to focus on this morning, this example that Mary gives us. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to her. Through this Advent time of preparing for Christmas, which is just Christmas Eve tomorrow, of course, our theme has been preparing the way for the Lord. That was the cry and the message of John the Baptist and the ministry of John the Baptist, to come in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord. And in order to look at how we might do that in our own lives, we've been using Romans chapter 12. So for the last 4 weeks, we've been having this reading from Romans chapter 12. For those of you who may be a little tired of hearing it, this is the culmination of that study. So no more, but I hope it's been a helpful devotion for us, those who've used it, because there's so much in this chapter after Paul lays out this extensive argument that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. We have that assurance of salvation. Now, what does that look like in the world today? And what it looks like is what he describes in Romans chapter 12. So we've been using that as a devotion, going through piece by piece. And we've been using the Christmas story as examples of the application of Romans 12. So Romans 12 has said certain things, and then we go back and look at the Christmas story, people like John the Baptist and Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah. And it's been absolutely amazing to me. I never foresaw this happening, that there would be such an easy correlation between the Christmas story and Romans 12. And as we're going through week, I'm saying, oh, okay, we're going to talk about this because here's an example in the Christmas story, and here's an example of that. And we have that, in fact, today as we complete this study of Romans 12, an example of what Paul talks about. And the section today, we're going to talk and focus on this response of Elizabeth to Mary's visit. And Elizabeth again saying, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. She believed what God had revealed to her. And so today we want to look at that application in our own preparation for the Lord coming to us and coming for the world. And I would like to present kind of a scenario of a prosecuting attorney in a court of law. And you know how these crafty prosecuting attorneys will kind of set somebody up, and then they kind of spring it on them, you know, the catch or the trap. And they say, oh, you believe that, you believe that. Well, then what about this, right? And so I'm going to kind of do that to us today. So I'm forewarning you that there's the setup and then there's the catch. Okay, there's the gotcha. Okay, now here's the setup. The setup is, do we not believe that Jesus is the Savior of us in the world? He died on the cross for our sins. Yes, absolutely. Jesus is my Savior. Okay, do we believe that Jesus is my Lord, the Lord of my life? Yes, Jesus is Lord. And as Lord of my life, do I not believe that I will do everything that Jesus tells me to do? Yes, I believe He's Lord. The Lord means you do what He tells you to do. And do we not believe that the Bible is the Word of God and the very words of God coming to us through the words of Christ? Yes, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And what the Bible says, we will do because Jesus is Lord and Savior. That's the setup. Here comes the catch. Okay, well, if you believe that, how do we apply that to our life in one particular area? How do we treat our enemies? How do we treat our enemies? How do we deal with those who have hurt us or betrayed us or abandoned us or slandered us or deceived us or cheated us or even abused us? And there is a deafening quiet over the courtroom. Yeah, this is a tough one. This is a tough one, perhaps the toughest one of all of chapter 12 in Romans. Let me remind you of the words that we just heard. And again, we believe this is God speaking to us. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. Wow. Stand before the judge and say, guilty, guilty, guilty. Wow. And yet the challenge for us today is, as Mary did, do we in fact believe what the Lord has told us? Perhaps the greatest temptation of the devil goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, does it not? Did God really say? Did God really say, forgive your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, give no one evil for evil? Did God really say that? Yes. Yes. Yes, he did. Is Jesus Lord of my life? Yes, he is. Am I expected to do what he tells me to do? Yes, I am. I'm not saying it's easy, and he never said it was easy. I believe it's only by the grace of God we're able to do it. But it's pretty clear. If Jesus is Lord of our lives, the teaching of Scripture is very clear that we cannot hold grudges and unforgiveness towards those who have hurt us and abandoned us and rejected us and abused us. We cannot do it. There's a wonderful book called Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. This is another one that I've read it years ago, and I'm like, it's another one. Probably every Christian should read it once a year. Total Forgiveness. What does it mean to forgive totally? And one of the things that Kendall talks about in his book is how we who have been offended and hurt, the normal natural reaction for us is to want to hurt the person who has hurt us. I've certainly found this in my own life. There's been a time someone did something to me or said something, whatever. My reaction was strong, and it was unchristian. And I had to repent, and I go back, and I'm thinking, why did I do something? I knew it was wrong to react that way. Why did I do it? And even talking with other people about it, and came to the conclusion, I wanted to hurt this person. I wanted to hurt them because they hurt me. And I'm like, wow. And so the Lord says, don't do that. Do we believe that what the Lord has said would be fulfillment? And that is what we see from the scriptures. Instead of going back and hurting people or trying to get back to them, what does the Lord say? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Basically, he says, let it go. Let it go. If there's a problem here, I'll deal with it. If there's a burden or a need of punishment here, I'll deal with it. If somebody needs justice here, I will take care of it. It's not up to you. It's up to me, says the Lord. Do we believe the fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken to us? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. This passage Paul cites is actually a quote from Deuteronomy. It goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. God is talking about how the people, this actually is almost the last, I think it's known as the Song of Moses, kind of his last announcement to the people of Israel as they're getting ready to cross over into the Promised Land. Joshua has been appointed as Moses' successor. So this is like the last word of Moses, and he says, you're going to fall short, you're going to do things. God is going to bring judgment on you, as we know later on came in the people of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. But God then says, I'm going to judge them, though. I'm going to pay them back. It's not for you to do it. I'm going to pay them back. So those who I'm using as an instrument of judgment, I will judge. And of course they were. They were destroyed following their destruction of Israel. So it's in the context of that we get this passage comes, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. It wasn't up to the Israelites. It's repeated in Hebrews, where it talks about the purpose and of people and depending on God and not living in an area of unforgiveness in our lives. Why? Because God said, vengeance is mine. I'm going to repay, says the Lord. You want to punish somebody? You want to hurt them back? Don't do it. Leave it to me. Leave it to me. What a hard, hard message that is. And yet the scriptures are pretty clear. We are called to forgive. We're called to let it go. Doesn't mean we condone what the person did or what they said. It simply means we are choosing an act of the will unilaterally. The other person doesn't have to repent. In fact, it's interesting. Kendall, one of the things he says, you know, most of the time we harbor this tremendous unforgiveness towards people. Generally, the other person doesn't even think they did anything wrong. Or if they did, they think, well, it was justified what they did. So who's carrying the burden here, right? It's us. It's us by harboring this unforgiveness. And so God says, let it go and leave it to him. If there's any justice to be done, God will do it. And of course, he will do it in a perfect way. So we're called to forgive. I'd offer three reasons for we'd forgive. First of all, the scriptures command it. I mean, that's a given. But Paul also talks in both Ephesians and Colossians. He says that we are called to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. There's a sense that if we want total justice where everybody gets their just desserts, no, I don't want that system. You know why? Because I don't want to pay the penalty for my sins. I want somebody else to pay the penalty for my sins. And his name is Jesus, who is the only one who could. So do I want grace in God's kingdom? Yes, because I need it. And to understand what God has done for me in Jesus Christ, ought I not then to extend that to others? Remember the parable that Jesus told about that very thing. So we forgive because Christ forgave us. And if we truly understand what that means, that might help us to be able to let it go, because the debt that we owe is so much greater, what we owe to God, than what someone else has done to us. I know how horrible it might be, whatever it is. It doesn't compare with us offending or rejecting the divine, omnipotent God. So that's the first reason. Christ has forgiven us. The second reason is more practical. What makes it more applicable to us is out of our own personal health. Kendall has a quote here from a person who's actually a medical doctor. As a medical doctor, one of the most important problems I encounter among my patients is that of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. It is a major reason why people don't heal. Hear that? This doctor saying, I want to heal people. I got them dealing with all this bitterness and resentment. It's a major reason why they don't heal. Why? Because we know the effects of stress, it weakens our immune system. Right? We know that. And it's all connected, body, soul, and spirit. We have unforgiveness in our spirit. It affects our bodies. It lowers our immune system, makes us more susceptible. Things like cells that are duplicating in a way they're not supposed to. That's called cancer. It affects our heart. It affects every part of us. Unforgiveness. And I've shared before that Catherine Marshall, very involved in healing ministry, would give people kind of a questionnaire to fill out in preparation for a healing session and healing prayers. And part of that survey would be, are you harboring unforgiveness towards anyone? And Catherine Marshall would say, if the answer is yes, then don't bother setting an appointment with us. Because we're not even going to pray for you if we know that you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart. Because we know that that quenches the Holy Spirit and the power of God to bring healing. So for our own sakes, we want to be relieved of that burden of allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and heal us. And if we pray up here for people to be healed, do you see what a detriment it is if we're harboring that bitterness and anger in our hearts, and yet we're praying, Holy Spirit, come and heal? In Paul's letter, where he talks about grieving the Spirit in Ephesians, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then he mentions some things that grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what the first thing he mentions? Bitterness. He said, get rid of all bitterness in your heart. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It quenches the Holy Spirit. It keeps the Holy Spirit's power for coming into our lives. Praying for healing in my life? Okay, first let's check and see if there's an obstacle, particularly the obstacle of unforgiveness. Personal health, a major reason why people don't get healed. Third reason I would offer to us is the witness of the truth of the gospel. We are called saints. Saint means holy ones. Holy means the called out ones. We are called to be different from the people of the world. We are different because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in the first centuries of the church, one thing that distinguished the Christians was how they administered and helped the poor and the needy. Because they were always figured they were cursed by God, they're no good. And here these Christians are coming along and they're administering to lepers. Can you believe that? And the poor and the needy, and they said, look at how those Christians love one another and love the poor and the needy. And they said, wow, there must be something to this. I don't think that's true anymore today. I mean, certainly our Christian organizations do wonderful things, but there's lots of other organizations that also do very much to help the poor and the needy. And you can't look at an organization and say, if you help the poor, oh, you must be a follower of Jesus. No, I'm not, but I still feel a calling to help the poor and the needy. So what kinds of things, then, is it that distinguishes us from the ways of the world? And I would argue perhaps the greatest distinction is that we would be people who are able to forgive our enemies, to forgive those who have hurt us, to lay it aside, to let it go, no matter what someone has done to me, be able to say, I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to harbor the bitterness, the resentment, and the anger. Can you imagine how the world responds to something like that? See how contrary it is to the ways of the world? They're like, you crazy? You have a chance to get back at this person? You're not going to take advantage of it? No. Why not? Because God's word has told me I'm not supposed to do that, and I'm trying to live as Jesus is my Lord, and I'm supposed to be obeying him and following it. That's why. What a strange answer that would be. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how somebody would react to that? Jesus, you think he's real? Yes, he's real. You think he cares? Yes, I think he cares. Does he tell you what he wants? Yes, he tells me what he wants me to do. And one of them is forgive my enemies. Pray for those who persecute me. Don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. If he's my Lord, that's what I believe. So the witness to the gospel, I think, is very important in this area. Can show many people around us. We have an opportunity to get back at somebody to hurt them, and we don't take it. It blows the mind of the people of the world. They wonder, how can you possibly do that? Because my Lord has told me this is what I need to do, and I'm going to leave it to him. Oh, but they're going to get away. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything, right? God is just, and if they don't repent, God brings judgment. And so we can leave it to him. He's much better at it than we are. He's much better at it than we are. So I believe three reasons to forgive. One, Christ has forgiven us. Second, for our own personal health. And third, as a witness to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know when we've truly forgiven someone? Say, well, I think I forgave them. I know that comes, you know, time and time. I think I forgave them long ago. These are three things that Kendall says. He says, first, the bitterness is gone when there is no desire to get even with or punish the offender. That's the first one. There's no desire to punish or see this person, you know, get their comings kind of wait for that. Or particularly if we have the opportunity to do that, that we would let that go. If we were able to do that, that's one way that we say, okay, I truly believe I have forgiven, I've let it go. Not condoning what they've done, not saying it wasn't horrible, but I'm saying I have an opportunity to bring revenge or retribution, and I'm not going to take it. So no longer do I have that desire to see this person punished by me. I'm leaving that to God. That's one thing he talked about. The bitterness is gone. Second, when I do or say nothing that would hurt this person's reputation or their future. This is an interesting one, because we could say, well, I'm not going to do anything to hurt them, but I'm going to let the other people know what this person did. What does that do? Basically, we're trying to hurt them. We're trying to lower that person's standing with all these other people. Say, let me tell you what a horrible person did, what they did. Oh, but I'm not punishing them. I'm just telling other people just so that they would know, and maybe they could pray for this person because they did this horrible thing for me. What manipulators we can be with prayer, right? Get in a prayer group. Well, we need to pray for so-and-so because, oh, they did this horrible thing. And saying, don't do that. When you give that up and say, no, not only am I not going to try to punish them, but I'm not going to try to slander or talk about them to other people in the hope that diminishing their standing with other people. Because in a way, we're just trying to punish them. And then the third, he says, is when I truly wish them well in all that they seek to do. I truly hope that they do well. I truly hope that God would bless them. One of the things we say in our prayer for spiritual protection is, I forgive those who have sinned against me, and I pray God's blessing for them. And when I find in my heart that I could truly say, no, I really hope that they would do well. I hope they would find the Lord. I hope that they would get to repentance. I hope that all those good things would happen, because I don't want to see anybody fall out of favor for eternity with God. And so I thought, well, that's pretty good. When we look at the time and say, you know, is that bitterness gone? Is it replaced with a sense of peace? We say, well, do I still have a desire to see this person get punished, you know, or punish this person? No, I'm going to leave that to God. Do I still talk about this person and try to ruin their reputation to others? No, I'm going to let that go. I'm not going to talk about what they did. God knows what it is. They know what it is. I don't need to spread it around to other people. And then third one, do I truly wish that they would be blessed, that they would prosper, that they would come to God, repent, and be blessed in life? If we have that sense that we can never remember the things that this person did to us, but it's just a miracle of God. The bitterness is just gone. It's just gone. It's just gone. And so this weight that we've been carrying, it's like a bag of bricks. It's gone. The burden is gone. Because it's not my burden anymore. I give it to the Lord. I turn it over to the Lord. Lord, it's up to you. If this person deserves punishment, I give it to you, Lord. I set free, am set free by Jesus, set free to worship him. And so, as some people put it, you know, can we truly let go and let God? I like that little let go, let God. Put that on your refrigerator or something. Let go and let God. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. So let's get back to Mary. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And God says, leave it to me and I'll handle it. Can we do that? Can we believe his word and say, yes, I believe? What a challenge this is. It's also not something we just do and say, okay, yeah, I'm right with that. I believe it's a challenge that follows us all through life. All through life. There's constantly going to be examples of people hurting us, offending us, betraying us, all through life. How are we going to respond as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ? And then I would just finally say is that I know for many of us this is really, really hard to do. And I would say we have to be at least one place in this. If you say to me, I just can't forgive, I'm like, okay, I receive that. I don't want to judge you for that. You say, I just can't do it. I believe we at least have to be to the place to say, Lord, I see in your word that you want me to forgive. Lord, I can't forgive right now, but please help me to be able to forgive. If we can't get to that point, saying, you're my Lord, if you want me to forgive, it's clear in your word, I can't do it, please help me, Lord, set my heart at peace, help me to be able to just let this go, Lord, by your grace and your mercy, Lord, please do that and make that your prayer. If we can't come at least to that, we need to seriously question our relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? What do we say in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is serious stuff. It's not easy. As I said, it's lifelong. But if we can't come to that place, at least say, Lord, I can't forgive now, but please help me. If we can't come to that place, we need to really come before the Lord and repent. So that's my hope today, is that this Christmas time, we could heed the words of Scripture. Not just for our sake in terms of our own health, not just for the sake of being obedient to Jesus, but for the sake of the world and a witness we make. Because there are people out there who are hurting and resentful and bitter and angry at others. And it chews them up inside. Do we know this? Don't we know people just consumed by their anger and bitterness? And what happens invariably? Their health starts to fail. And like, oh, pray for me for healing. Well, you got bitterness, resentment in your heart. Well, yeah. Do we see the contrast? So our message has to be through our own example, I believe, it where it begins. For us to be able to forgive and let it go no matter what someone has done to us, that would then be an example to share with others. You too can do this. Oh no, I can never do it. God can do it in you. That's the response. God can do it in you. And it will bring joy and it will bring peace. But what about this person getting away with it? Nobody gets away with anything. Do we believe that? If we do, then we can just let it go to God and say, Lord's going to take care of it. He's going to take care. May this Christmas be the time, maybe for some of us, the first time in our lives, there's some particular person we just never been able, or an event, never been able to handle or deal with that. Maybe today would be the day that we could truly just say, Lord, I give this to you. If there's no feeling associated with that, we say it again. And that's our constant prayer. Eventually, the feeling will follow the fact. Eventually, we'll start to feel, actually sense in our heart, and the bitterness will be gone, and the peace will come, and the joy. We just keep saying it over and over. Lord, I give this up to you. Help me to forgive. Help me to let it go. And God will answer that prayer. I absolutely believe that, and I hope that you do as well. May this Christmas, may today, be the day that we're relieved of that burden, that bag of bricks we've been carrying around for a long, long time. And let it go, and let God. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. We're living in tremendous times, I believe historically significant times. We don't have time for unforgiveness. We don't have time for the burdens of resentment. We're soldiers being called. We cannot have this bag of bricks while we're trying to go up the hill. We can't afford to. There's bigger issues around, and we must heed those because the kingdom of God truly is upon us. And as we obey and follow Christ, truly the best is yet to come. It may not seem that way, but we need to look past that. And truly, the best is yet to come because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?